When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey, John and Ken show. KFI AM 640. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken tonight. Into the weekend. By the way, it's an exciting weekend because you get less weekend this weekend. Isn't that great? Which means you're thinking, oh, the worst part about the weekend is having to wait until work comes back on Monday. But good news, you don't have to wait as long this weekend. Isn't that wonderful?
It's great.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that coming up here after Deborah's news at 5:30. We'll talk about daylight saving time is back again, which means that we have to do our obligatory twice-a-year topic. So we'll hit that here in just a second. I wanted to talk more about the gas prices because we are just getting crushed on the gas prices. And Deborah, Mark had the story earlier, $5.72 a gallon average in the state?
Yep.
Ugh. And I know it's over $6 around the station here, too. And that pains me. It pains me. It hurts. I mean, bread is already crazy expensive. Cereal, I can't even find it. That's driving me crazy. Have you seen the price of meat? My goodness. Beef products are through the roof. It's at the point where I might even go to Taco Bell and pretend that's beefy enough for me.
Oh.
It's exciting. Oh, should I not have said that? I'm part-time. It's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Better you than me.
Yeah, well, side note, love Taco Bell. I got nothing bad to say.
I grew up on Taco Bell. It was my favorite place in the world when I was a kid.
I had Taco Bell this week. I love it. And Taco Bell will give you something that you can't get cheap anywhere else. You know what it is?
What?
Gas.
Ooh.
So you got that going for you. Yeah. So a lot of people are trying to take mass transit now. In fact, I think that the Metro was saying that they had, well, like a 8% increase in riders on their, hold on, I got the story right here. LA Times had it. It was an increase. Metro said it's too early to tell whether bus and train ridership is up, but Southern California commuter rail system MetroLink recorded its biggest weekly jump since the pandemic began with 8% more riders boarding. Good. I have to tell you, though, I don't care for public transit in general. And I know I shouldn't feel that way, but I do. And anytime I take public transit, I always say, oh, that wasn't so bad. But then I go back to this just silly fear of mass transit. And I don't know if it's the unfamiliarity. I grew up in a really rural area. And anywhere I've ever worked, I've always had a car. I've the closest I've come to mass transit stuff is when I first moved to Southern California, which has been 10 years now. God, I feel old. And I moved to San Diego, and I was living downtown. And they have the trolley. And the trolley went right by my apartment. And so that is the closest I came to using mass transit. I mean that literally. I never actually got on the trolley in San Diego. I never took the train. That is the closest I got to the train, was the station near my loft. and I would drive by that station on the way to and from work. That is the closest I got to getting on the train. I'm not a big fan of mass transit. And I know that some of the complaints are pretty legitimate, like safety. Safety is a big issue that even though gas prices are through the roof, people are concerned with taking mass transit. In fact, in the story that the LA Times had, it talked about violent crimes on the metro system jumped 36% last year. That, according to the Metro Transit Authority data, aggravated assaults, rapes, and even homicides rose for the second year in a row. Homeless people loitering on the subway have contributed to rising cases of harassment of riders and, in some cases, even violence. I don't want to deal with that. As long as I have the disposable income I want, that I don't have to make significant cuts elsewhere, I'm going to keep driving. And I know that's bad. I know environmentalists are going to get angry with me for doing that. My wife says we could save a lot of money if you just take the train. I don't want to, but I don't want to. And to be honest, it's not even the violence stuff. That's kind of an excuse for me. I'm not even worried so much about the violence. I'm a big dude. People don't screw with me. If I witnessed violence, it would be far more likely that I would be somebody intervening if I saw violence going on. That's how I would more likely get involved. And that's happened in the past. I don't get into bar fights. But I've been in bar fights because I break them up. Does that make sense? Like, I've jumped in and pulled people off of other people before. Like, that's the closest I come to the violence because people don't mess with me. I'm just a big dude. But, and I, by the way, I'm a pussycat too. They could totally kick my butt. But here's the truth. I feel gross on mass transit. And I also feel like I lose some independence. As I said before, anytime I've taken mass transit, I always end up saying, that wasn't so bad. But I always feel that way going into it. Whether it's being on a train or a bus that's been used by lots of people of varying degrees of hygienic practice, or it's just a situation where I feel cramped into a small space with a bunch of strangers, I don't like the feeling. And I also don't like being on somebody else's schedule. I don't like it. Now, we've got some people in the building here. In fact, I talked with our news director about this quite a bit because he takes public transit all the time. And he says he gets a lot of work done on the public transit. And I said, how long is that commute? He goes, oh, it's like an hour and 15 minutes or something. And I go, that's too long. That's too long. He says, yeah, but I'm not stuck in traffic. I can work. I can be on my laptop. And I go, all right, well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty great, I guess. You can catch up on your Netflix. He works, I would just waste time. But that's pretty cool. I don't like it. I'd rather be sitting in the car on the way to work, listening to the end of the Handel Show or to Gary and Shannon. I would rather be doing that and engaging with them than sitting on a train, staring at a bunch of people, feeling awkward. I hate that awkward feeling. And I've yet to ride public transit where I didn't feel that awkward feeling of being like in an elevator full of strangers or, when you went to college. Remember when you went to college and you didn't know anybody or your first day at school at a new school and you don't know anybody and you're kind of like, hi, everybody. Or me at any party I've ever gone to in my entire life, I stand in the corner going, I don't belong here. That's how I feel in public transit. Gas prices are going to have to get a lot higher. But I have a solution to the gas price issue. Nobody wants to hear my solution, but I have a legitimate solution. Are you ready for this? And I hope that we have employers that are listening to me right now. What did we learn during the pandemic? We learned that we can get by, many businesses anyway, save for the essential workers, right? But many businesses can get by allowing people to work from home. Now, I know that gives and takes to that. I know that you don't get the camaraderie of the office space where you're stuck in the same cubicle under the same fluorescent lights as everyone else around you and you all experience the misery together. That builds relationships. I know that you're not experiencing the same mass transit awkwardness that I would experience if you're working from home. And I know a lot of businesses really want you to be able to have that life experience. There is team building. There is the friendships that we forge at work. And, you know, those are great relationships, but a lot of work can be done remotely. So what if we were to find a common middle ground? What if, with gas prices being as high as they are, and politicians who are standing up and saying, we better do something about this, only to point at somebody across the aisle and say, why aren't they doing more? Employers, what if you were to go to kind of a hybrid work system that we saw with schools? What if you were to allow workers to stay home 2 days a week or 3 days a week? What if you were to do a schedule that allows for half of your employees to be there on certain days and the other half to be there the other days? Maybe rotate that so it's 2 days 1 week, 3 days the next, and rotate that. Suddenly you're cutting commuting time by 40 to 60% every week. You're saving people money on the gas pump. You're still getting the benefits of that in-office personal relationship. You know you can still do meetings via Zoom or Teams or whatever else you're using. You know that the company can get by on these sorts of things. And I'm not talking about if you're working, again, at a restaurant. If you're working at a hotel, obviously you're going to have to be there. But I'm talking about so many people that work in office buildings that clog up the roadways every single day. And look, you're talking to one of them right here. I would love the situation where we can split that time. Cut my commute by 40 or 60%. Cut the spending I have on gas 40 to 60%. Gas has gone up 20%. But imagine if we could counter that by spending 40% less. Ta-da! I don't know why more of this isn't happening. And as we all know from the pandemic, when there are fewer cars on the road, there's less traffic problems. Although there was an increase in accidents during the pandemic, and that's kind of a bummer too. I feel like there's a solution here, and I feel like if employers, you care about the pocketbooks of your employees, this may be one of those solutions. And at the very least, you're going to look like you care about what's going on in your employees' personal lives and what's going on in their wallets. You care. All right. I mentioned earlier the worst place to be stuck right now might be in Russia, as Brittany Griner has been arrested and she's stuck in Russia. I was wrong. There is one worse place to be than stuck in Russia right now. I'll tell you where that is next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. Chris Merrill in for the boys. I mentioned earlier that the worst place to be stuck right now would be in a Russian jail cell, and I was wrong. Brittany Griner, the WNBA star, is, in fact, stuck in a Russian jail cell somewhere. We don't even know where, and that's pretty scary. Seems like a pretty awful place to be. However, there might be one place worse than that. And that would be stuck in space. Yeah, that's a real bummer. That one's gonna hurt. So here's the deal on this. There's an astronaut in space right now, right? And while he's in space, his name is Mark Vanderhey, by the way. He's in space, and he was supposed to go back to Russia with a couple of cosmonauts on a Russian spacecraft. Yeah, he's up there with cosmonauts. I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe international politics. They may have hammered this whole thing out with Ukraine. Hard to say. But now Russia is supposed to send up a recovery ship to go pick those guys up and come on back. Russia now says, maybe we'll just leave them up there.
This morning, the International Space Station in political crosshairs as Russia retaliates against American sanctions. The head of the Russian space agency, Dmitry Rogozin, posting this video on social media threatening to abandon American astronaut Mark Vanderhey at the station. He's supposed to return home on a Russian ship in just 3 weeks.
I just said that.
I never thought I would ever hear anything. So,
hang on. Before we get to that, Scott Kelly talking, by the way, astronaut and brother of U.S. Senator. Before we get any further into that, can you imagine the scenario where you've got three guys in the International Space Station, one of them is an American, two guys are Russian, the ride home shows up, and the Russians are like, sorry, comrade, we're out. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone out with friends and then gotten into an argument with your friends, and your friends call an Uber, and you don't have your wallet, and they take off, and you're stuck trying to figure out how to get home. That's awkward. I haven't been, but I can only imagine. Mostly because I don't have any friends that would go out with me. But here you've got a guy who's on the International Space Station, and he may end up watching his ride leave without him, which would leave him 230 miles above where he wants to be. That's a long way down. That's a tough dive. He says, in fact, hang on, let's go back to what Scott Kelly had to say, astronaut.
I never thought I would ever hear anything so outrageous.
Former NASA astronaut Scott Kelly heard enough after Rogozin tweeted another video of technicians covering up the U.S. and Japanese flags on a rocket. Kelly fired back. Without those flags and the foreign exchange they bring in, your space program won't be worth a damn. Maybe you can find a job at McDonald's, if McDonald's still exists in Russia. Rogozin responding by calling Kelly a moron with dementia.
This is my first ever, you know, real, like, engagement with someone in that kind of a negative way.
And it happens to be the head of the Russian space program.
Yeah, big deal. Head of the Russian space program.
I love it. Scott Kelly's like, yeah, but this is the first time he's engaged with somebody in a negative way online. Hey, Scott, listen, you broke the seal. Welcome to the dark side. You're now a troll.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Go back to being the nice guy, Scott. Don't be a troll.
Rogozin also making an ominous threat that without Russian help to move the ISS away from space junk, the ISS would crash into America or other countries.
What do you think about that?
I think it's just a crazy threat. You know, it's not really based in reality. So we do have the ability to control the orbit of the space station independent from the Russian space agency. So I don't see that happening.
Wouldn't it be great if we sent a rocket, picked up the astronaut after the Russians abandoned him, and then we directed the space station to actually crash into Russia? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I know it's an awful but Russia says, you know, maybe we turn everything off and then it crashes into America. And we go, oh, okay, maybe we turn everything off and we point it at you. I know I shouldn't think that way, but I'm not making any real decisions, so I'm just kind of emoting right now.
Earlier this week, after halting sales of a Russian-made engine used by the American Atlas rockets, Rogozin said the U.S. would need broomsticks to get to space.
Uh-oh. In other words, we need these rockets to launch, and Russia says, we're going to leave your astronaut up there, and then we're not going to let you have the engines you need to launch your rockets. Wow. That's pretty dastardly. Right? That's pretty awful. And there's no Americans out there saying, well, we're actually going to make somebody suffer and die just to try to own you. We're not doing that. And Russia says, well, maybe we will. So what's our response? More than one way to skin a cat.
Overnight, SpaceX firing back as it launched its Falcon rocket carrying satellites to orbit.
Time to let the American broomstick fly and hear the sounds of freedom. LD is go for launch.
Let me play that again because this is great. I'll turn it up a little bit. The launch of the Falcon rocket, the latest SpaceX rocket, which should give me a little bit better internet connection because I have Dishy out there trying to find a satellite right now. They go, time for the American broomstick to fly.
Time to let the American broomstick fly and hear the sounds of freedom. LD is go for launch.
Russia says, you'll have to use broomsticks to get there. I don't know what that really means. Maybe there's something lost in translation or they think we're all witches. I don't really understand. But I love that the U.S. is like, hey, here comes our broomstick. All right, we will talk about how your weekend just got a little bit shorter. That's next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640 live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. John and Ken Show. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640. This weekend, you will have a little less time. Unless the boss lets you off a little early, that'd be nice. Maybe a little less time this weekend. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, it happens every year. About this time, we have that, you spring forward, you lose an hour. Which, I don't know about you, Deborah, but I always got confused on the timing on this.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
You go, okay, I spring forward.
And then I fall back, and yeah, so it means I do have less time, but...
Less time, right. Yeah.
But you know, the good thing is I leave, my shift is over a few minutes before 6, so when I drive home, yeah, it's light.
Oh, that's nice for you, isn't it?
That is nice.
Okay.
That's the positive.
I am I know you're enjoying it, but I am somebody who is not for daylight saving time. Mm. I know. I'm in the minority on this one, but hear me out here, okay? Hear me out. And you have Congress that's got to go through the whole, are we going to keep daylight saving time? And of course, we passed that proposition a few years back that said that we could stay on daylight saving time if we wanted to in California. And I hate that idea because that means that for a good portion of the year, we would be ahead of Nevada, like right now.
So why is that a problem?
Because it's just weird, man.
You can get over that.
You get over it.
I'm over it.
You get over it. You go from is it Utah? I'm trying to think of Nevada, Utah. Yeah. Yes, Utah, I believe, is still Mountain Time, right? So you'd have Utah. It would be, again, if we stayed at daylight saving time, right? In Utah, it is 6:36 right now, right? If we stayed with daylight saving time, right now it would be 6:36, and Nevada would be at 5:36. So that would be just dumb, right? That's weird. But, okay, I hear you. I could get over that. Merrill, you just deal with it. Well, first of all, I'm a curmudgeonly old man, so I don't get over things very easily. But let's suppose that I just came to terms with that fact, that we have to go backward in order to go forward. Here's the problem I have with daylight saving time. I don't like it because as I become a more curmudgeonly old man, I find myself unable to sleep much later. And have you seen all the different fitness apps and the fitness trackers? And my wife got me an iWatch for Christmas, which was nice of her, which is really very much health-based, right? There's a lot of health going on there, and it's all about your health. And we know more and more about the importance of sleep. We've always heard that getting a good night's sleep is important, but as the decades go on, more and more studies confirm how important it is to have that great night's sleep. And I've tried to put myself in a position where I go to bed when I'm tired and I get up when I wake up. Unfortunately, especially during the winter months, I find myself getting tired as the sun goes down and waking up well before the sun comes up. But I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm probably using the wrong term, but I'm trying to adjust my circadian rhythms. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm trying to do is sort of do what my body wants naturally, and that is sun goes down, I go to sleep. Sun comes up, I wake up. I'm trying to do it this way. The problem I have with daylight saving time is that it trains us not to... naturally, our bodies want to go to bed when it gets dark and get up when it gets light. The problem is that when it comes to going to work... especially in the kind of the shoulder season, so to speak. So when we do this, when we set it now, sunrise is an hour later. And that means more people driving to work in the dark, more people getting up in the dark. Our bodies don't want to do that. And that also means that as it stays late longer, we stay up later, which means we're less likely to want to get up when it is time to get up, especially if it's still dark out there.
What time do you go to sleep at night?
Whenever my body tells me to. Generally around 9 or 10.
Okay.
You know, so in the summertime, it's as things get dark. Now, I will say the flip side of that is I lived in Arizona for a while. In fact, my wife had to take a trip. She's in Arizona right now. And the issue with Arizona is that, you know, they don't do the time change thing.
Right.
They're always in mountain standard time. And I will say this. It gets early. It gets light daggum early in Arizona in the summertime. Really light.
What
really
time?
Early. Like 4:30, it starts getting really light, which is pretty early. I'll give you that. But in the same way, it's also light pretty late too, you know, so you're still only getting that 6 or 7 hours of darkness anyway. But yeah, we would have, and of course it gets so hot. We'd have gardeners showing up at the house at like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, really brutal. Send the dogs into a tizzy, all sorts of
nonsense. They got to beat the heat.
That absolutely. I don't blame the gardeners for doing it. You're right. They got to beat the heat. Because even if they get started at 4 o'clock in the morning, they're still working until noon. And it's, you know, by the time they hit noon, you're talking about 112 degrees, which is awfully warm to be wearing long sleeves outside cutting bushes. You know, so I don't have any issue with them doing it. It's a different type of lifestyle. You just have to kind of adjust a little bit.
Well, if they use those blowers when they're trying to sleep, I mean, that's a drag.
Oh, I feel bad. Not only for, like, you know, my wife and I wake up, the dogs go bonkers, but I know the neighbors are waking up, too. because everything's, you know, it's like here, everything's so packed together that if there's a blower going in my yard, the neighbors are hearing it too. It's a real pain. But then again, when the neighbors' gardeners would show up, it would be a similar situation. So I understand it. I like that Arizona doesn't change. I liked when I lived there that it didn't change, you know, it didn't go through that. Although, boy, oh boy, you want to talk about a mess. Try dealing with, I always had producers that could not figure out what the time difference was. Could not do it. So I'd have producers and I'd be trying, you know, something would happen in Texas and I'd be trying to line something up. And they would always contact whoever it is in Texas. We're trying to do an interview or whatever. And they would always give the wrong time. This happened constantly where my producers couldn't figure out how the time shifts worked because they didn't grow up with it. They had no idea. And so it was like, okay. And a lot of time producers, a lot of the time out there would be somebody that was in the marketing department and got, you know, like an intern in the marketing department, and we'd have an opening for a producer, and they'd be like, you'll be a good producer. It was a very professional organization. And so then it was like they didn't have any experience outside of Arizona, and then they all went to ASU, and they just didn't know how to deal with time shifts. They had no idea. It was a real mess. So I consider myself a little bit savvy when it comes to that, not because I'm all that smart, but just because I have some experience with it. But when it comes to this daylight saving time stuff, I'm all for getting rid of shifting clocks. And I would rather go to daylight saving time permanently nationwide, because I don't want to jump back and forth between here and Nevada and everything where else. I would rather go to a single system nationwide than, even if it's a daylight saving time, than to do this whole mix and match stuff that we have going on right now, and California talking about joining into that mix and match.
Yeah, I buy that. That's good. Why don't you get that to happen?
That's what I'm working on.
Work
harder. What are you even talking about, Deborah?
You need to work a little harder, Chris.
Listen, Deborah. I'm working on it.
Okay. I hope that you succeed.
God, I love working with you. You are so much fun. I just love it. I love it to death. We will talk about, you know, you're going to get less sleep this weekend, but the good news is they're releasing mosquitoes this summer. So isn't that great? Less sleep during the weekend and then more mosquitoes.
I'm allergic to mosquitoes. Can I just tell you that? I get these
bad
huge
news for
welts.
You.
I can't walk sometimes.
Terrible news for you. That's next here in just a minute. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken at KFI AM 640 live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. Hey, thanks for hanging out today. It's been great. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. I always love the opportunity to hang with you guys and Eric and Raymond and Deborah. And you guys are just fantastic. It's such a wonderful, wonderful crew. So thank you so much for inviting me back. I look forward to the next time as well. Want me to share with you good news disguised as bad news? Yeah. Now, some environmentalists are not happy about this, but I am. Billions, this according to the Daily Mail, billions of genetically engineered male mosquitoes are going to be released in California and Florida over the next 2 years. Yeah. Oxitec is a biological pest control development firm. They have produced and edited the version of the flying insects to combat mosquito-borne illnesses like dengue, yellow fever, and Zika. So how does it work? Well, they're only releasing dudes. Yeah. It'd be like a frat party out there now. They're inviting in a sausage fest of mosquitoes in order to try to breed with the females and kill them. Ew! So you may not have known this, but only female mosquitoes bite. Did you have any idea? Yeah, only female mosquitoes bite. And those female mosquitoes are the ones that pass along the dengue, the yellow fever, the Zika, all that other stuff. The male mosquitoes, they're pretty useless, not unlike humans. They breed, and that's about it. That's just pretty much it. They hang out, they swarm around, they wait for a female to fly through, then they all try to attack the female. Again, a lot like a frat party where it's, you know, 20 guys to one woman that shows up, and then they all swarm on that woman. That's what the mosquitoes do, too. And then when they do breed, the mosquitoes lay a ton of eggs, and then they go out for a pack of smokes, and they never come back again. And then when those eggs finally hatch, you have you know, thousands more from that one mosquito. Meanwhile, the dude is like, job done. But the female, though, because she's feeding the eggs and she's mean, I guess, she goes out and starts biting people and starts sucking their blood, and she's very vampiric that way. So this company in the UK modified the male mosquitoes so that when they do breed, they end up killing the female while not allowing the female eggs to really mature is the way it's going to end up happening. Then the female eggs die. The project is cleared by the EPA, and they expect it to be released this year, but it has to have regulatory approval in Florida and California, the two states that they're going to do this in. Florida was part of a test group, so they already got regulatory approval. That's probably not a big deal. California could be a little bit bigger issue because we have so many, let's just say, outspoken environmentalists. See how nice I'm being? Not everybody is supporting the idea. You've got Friends of Earth describing the mosquito release, rather, as a destructive move that is dangerous for public health. We don't really know how dangerous it is for public health. They just assume because it's unnatural, it must be dangerous for public health because it's a genetically modified organism. Look out, GMO mosquitoes. The male insects have been genetically modified to express the protein. I'm not even going to tell you because nobody cares. That results in the death of any newly born females. It's kind of like the Chinese policy, but for mosquitoes, which is really fascinating. So once the mosquito breeds, then as the new ones are born, they don't reach maturity, which means they can't come out and they can't bite you and they can't pass along their gross little mosquito viruses. Ta-da! Can I get a ding-dong on that one, huh? Tim Conway Jr. joining us.
Hey now, ding-dong with you. What's happening, Chris? How are you?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I was
doing
listening.
Very well. I'm mosquito-free.
By the way, we have a tub in the back and a tub in the front. They're a little silly. They look like a paint can. And the mosquitoes fly in, they lay their eggs in there, and then, as you said, they don't ever get to maturity. And I've noticed a world of difference using my pest control guy. No spraying anymore, no traps. They just have those two little cans. They come in, lay their eggs, and then they're done. It's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I should have Mon one to explain. I can't explain it, but he can.
Yeah, but do you have any other, do you have a pool or do you have a bird bath or anywhere else that they could lay? No.
This is evening radio. There's no pools. Yeah.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Hey, I love when earlier when you were describing the police chase, it's so great to have a radio guy on because, you know, TV guys rely on the video and they never describe anything properly. But you were like, you know, he's over near the bush, he's under the car, he's got this over here, he pulled around the corner. I mean, you can envision exactly where you were just by your description. I applaud that.
Well, thank you. You know. Well, listen, I learned from the best. This is why I love listening to you with the car chase.
Oh, the chases are great, man. Yeah, but you know what amazes me is that when a guy runs away from the cops and he's not listening to KFI is unbelievable. I mean, we tell him where the cops are, where he's going, how much, you know, how many cars behind him, where there's accidents, everything.
Yeah.
We're helping him out.
You know that, hey, 405's backed up. You're going to want to exit over here.
That's right.
Well, they never do that, though.
We got a big show tonight. We got Dr. Ray Kasheri, a big pulmonologist, world-renowned pulmonologist, coming out with us tonight to talk about a new Duke study about the masks in schools. Not good for kids. Not good for kids. And then Alex Michelson with the issue is that on Fox 11 News coming on to talk about his show tonight at 7:35. So there you go. Not for
everybody.
What's
he doing?
Alex Michelson does a show every night at 10:30, or it airs at 10:30, and does local politics and stuff like that. But he's a good guy. I know his family.
You got big stuff coming in?
I don't know if he does or not. That's it. That's it for us. And then we're going to get out of here by 10 o'clock.
Better come up with something.
No way, man. Yeah, we're done.
Well, listen to our.
Well, we've got an LAPD motorcycle officer who was hospitalized at an unknown condition after a crash involving in Chinatown. So we're going to have an update on that. That's an important issue.
Good.
And then California also dropping the mask mandate for schools, but LAUSD said it's going to keep them around for another 30 years. Isn't that crazy? 30 years.
Is that
seems
right?
Like, we'll seems have like
to
a
get,
long time.
We'll have to get your Duke pulmonologist on to tell them that they're wrong.
That's right. And then the Dodgers are going to be back, you know, like with all of baseball. But pitcher Trevor Bauer, his leave is extended through March 19th. He got in some trouble there with the gal. I'll just say that.
All right. It sounds like you've got a packed show. I can't wait to hear it. Tim Conway Jr.
Unbelievable, buddy. Hey, by the way, where do you live? Do you live in San Diego or Arizona?
I can't even tell you that. I'm sworn to secrecy. My wife is concerned about her own safety and privacy.
Really? Is that right?
But I can tell you my wife is in Arizona, and I am not with her. So
okay.
That's what we're shaking right now. That's How's that sound?
I know.
I narrowed it down. I'm in the United States and not Arizona. How's that for you?
I know. Whenever I get death threats, I always say to my wife, look, there's only one talk show host that's ever been killed for something he said on the air, so chances are pretty slim I'm going to get knocked off. You know who it is, right? They made a movie about it.
The guy in Denver.
In Denver,
right?
Yeah. He went after the KKK or the far right, white group, and then they knocked him off.
Yeah. No, I got a death threat in Arizona a few years back, and that was enough to freak some people out. So
yeah, I got a death threat. I usually give it to the cops, and the cops do a great job, man. They know exactly where these guys are in like 10 minutes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's the best. And who's giving you death threats? That's a no-no.
You know what? It was a relative. That's a true story.
Of course it was.
That's Emmis. That is an absolute.
I can't wait to hear it.
100% true story that I got a death threat from a relative.
That's the best show on the RADIO. Tim Conway Jr.
Thanks, Bob.
It's been a pleasure being in for John and Ken. Chris Merrill on KFI AM 640 live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.